But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, God will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. And then turning to the Gospel of Matthew, something. There you go, Matthew 4. Matthew 4, starting with verse 12. And that, in these pew Bibles, is on page 3. But kind of, you know, the back side of page 3. And as you heard, Jesus is beginning to assemble his adventure team. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, John the baptizer, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory, which we just heard of from Isaiah, of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Zebulun and Naphtali, lands that were held in disdain, according to these words from the prophet Isaiah, and yet on them God declares, light has shined. I wonder if the people of Zebulun and Naphtali could perceive that light. I wonder if they knew when the light had shone down upon them. I wonder if there was a material difference in their day-to-day lives. And even as we see this joining of the passage from Isaiah with the passage from Matthew, and we hear that Jesus, who is now embodying that light in this land, is now coming and calling people to repentance and calling people to hope and curing them, healing them, offering a tangible difference in their lives, I wonder if they could even begin to understand that the light had dawned, that there was a new day, that the things of the past had come to an end, and a new kingdom was truly approaching? Or were they mostly caught up, those that Jesus met along the road, those that heard him preach, those that came to him for healing, were they mostly caught up with the day-to-day needs? The needs of being healed from illness, the needs of being able to walk again, the needs of being able to make it by. And so, and caught up in those day-to-day needs, all they could see was that next step. And they couldn't see the light that I can see shining right back there. It's beautiful. We are told that the light has come. And not too long ago, we proclaimed the darkness shall not, cannot, will never overcome it. We know that Jesus came and called his adventure team, and they literally did change the world. And yet here we are in January of 2020, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder what's happened to that light. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look out and I say, the Bible has said the light has come, it has happened, it has been accomplished, it's here now. And yet I don't see it. I don't see the effect of the light of Christ that the darkness cannot and will not overcome. Maybe I'm more like those who are coming to Jesus for healing, looking for the next step, wondering what will be next, wondering what the next day will bring, and not able to look up. And God knows our neighbors, the people who surround this congregation on all sides, the people who are in the desert today, the people who are hoping to be reunited families with families, the people who are ill and can't afford health care. God knows our neighbors must have a harder time believing the light has come and the darkness will not overcome it. And yet in the midst of all of that, because that was the reality in first century Palestine as well. That was the reality as Jesus walked to the Sea of Galilee, as Jesus fled in some ways from the River Jordan after John's arrest. And you may know that that doesn't end well for John. Being arrested seldom does. Jesus has left the heart of the land and has gone now to the edge, an edge that the prophet tells us was despised and neglected. Maybe that was a better place to do ministry, on the edge, with those who are despised and neglected. And so Jesus has come out to the edge, and it is a hard place to be. Anytime you move out from the center, in any way you want to use that metaphor, things become harder. When you are not in the center of where the power is, and where the money is, and where the influence is, and where the resources are, things become harder as you move further out. You know this. And so Jesus has moved further out to where things are harder, where people have their eyes on the ground, keeping their heads down, avoiding the occupying army, just trying to take the next step. And there he does what really none of us who were trained in any way, shape, or form in Western education, none of us would do, right? We're told he assembles an adventure team, but as Bailey pointed out, it was not the crack team. I mean, these are not your first draft choices. Like, I have friends who are posting about, you know, spring training for baseball starting soon, and there's always the, who's going to be traded, who's going to be, woo! No, I mean, Simon, James and John, Andrew. I mean, how often do you hear that name going forward? These guys, they're just there. They're just there eking out a living, throwing their nets into the sea, mending them as they break, not going out to Home Depot and buying a new one, not going down. Do you have Bass out here? That big superstore where you buy? No? Yeah, you do? Okay, yeah. Well, they're not going there either. No. If they need a new net, they're checking out the used section. They're checking out the yard sales and the flea markets. These guys they're fishermen. They're day laborers. They're scraping by. Jesus doesn't go to the temple. He doesn't go to the synagogue. He doesn't go to where the powerful have gathered. Because even in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, even there on the edge, there are still powerful people who gather and who still make the decisions, even there on the edge. But he doesn't go there. Jesus doesn't go there. He goes against all expectation. He goes against all conventional wisdom to the place where the laborers are. And maybe these brothers were willing because what else was there for them? Maybe they were willing to stand up and walk away, and James and John walking away from their father, sitting there mending the net. Maybe they were willing to do that because they couldn't really see what the next step was. And this at least was an invitation into something different. Or maybe when they heard Jesus' voice, they understood that the light had dawned and that here was the promise of God's beloved kingdom. Maybe when they were approached with those simple words, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of people," they heard all of the hope, all of the longing, all of the dreams that they had come to a point and knew that this was the path for them. Maybe in that time and place, the light shone. They didn't know what was going to happen, right? I mean, if anyone had asked them like a month later, "So, John, you're following Jesus. You're like walking through this area and he's healing people. He's being swarmed. They're like flash mobs of, we're told, epileptics and demoniacs. So you're following Jesus. What do you think's next?" What, you know?
Good time. Yeah.
They have no clue. In fact, and those who were at the presbytery meeting heard me say, I take great heart and joy from the fact that the disciples had no clue all the way through, because that means we're in good company. At least I'm in good company. They never got it. Even at the table, even when Jesus broke the bread and poured out the cup, they still were like, okay, that's fine. Are we done now? It's time to go sing. Let's go out to the garden and sing. They never got it. They certainly they didn't get it then. And that's a gift to us ultra planners, us cross our T's, dot our I's people. If the light's going to shine, I want to know when. I want to know how bright. I want to know if it's renewable energy. You know, if I'm doing solar panels, I want to know. I want to know how long it's going to be on. I want to know if my blackout curtains will block it out when I want to take a nap. I want to know these things if the light's going to shine. If I'm going to be called to follow Jesus in my life, I want to have some parameters set out. Nice little roadmap that shows me exactly where that's all going to go so I can make an informed decision. Because that's how God works, right? That's been your experience, right? That's been your experience with God, right? No. It kind of is like, and this dates me maybe a little bit, those old choose your own adventure books. You know, turn to page, I'm like, oh, hey. Oh, I just fell off a cliff. I didn't see that coming. And yet, these two things are always, forever connected. The light has shined, and the darkness will not overcome it, and so therefore come and follow me. It is because the light has shined and the darkness, as much as it tries, will not overcome it, that Jesus calls us to follow him, to share that light wherever and whenever we go. It's because the light has come and the kingdom of God is drawn near that we are then called to step out in faith, blinded by that light, not knowing anything about what comes next, in order to share that good news. And even in the days when it feels like the light is guttering, it feels like the candles, which aren't even lit, are about to go out. It's kind of like my church. We forget, like, oh, candles. Whoops. Now, see, sometimes the light feels like it didn't even show up. It's just missing. It's just dark and gloomy and hopeless and full of despair, and yet another tragedy, and yet another injustice, and yet another destroyed family, and yet another and another and another. Even on those days when it feels like the light has disappeared and God has turned God's back and Jesus has gone to take a nap in the front of the boat and the storm is raging all around us, even on those days. In fact, my friends, especially on those days, we are still called. Follow me. Shine the light. And that's what you do here at St. Mark's. That's what you have been doing since the beginning of this congregation. In the face of difficulty and persecution, in the face of people who say, that's not who I think God is, and so they've walked out the door. In the face of darkness, you have continued to see and shine the light of Jesus Christ. You have continued to say, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to follow. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know that today I need to be here to stand for justice. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but today I need to be here to stand up for other people's rights. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but today we need to open the doors and welcome people in. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but today the light of Christ has come because we are shining it for this community and for our neighbors. God bless you for that. Because our world needs it so very badly. I still wrestle with the promise that the light has, it has already, it has shined. And the fact of the darkness that presses in on all sides. I wrestle with that. And it's because you wrestle with that too that you keep showing up to shine the light. It's because you believe in the hearts of who you are and in the core of your mission as St. Mark's is because you believe the darkness will not overcome it, that that promise is sure and certain too, that you continue to show up to shine the light. It's because you have seen what the light shining in the darkness is able to accomplish. That even when you grieve, what you are not able to affect, what you are not able to stop, the injustice that continues to roll. It's because of where you see the light shining and lives changed, literally saved, that you continue to hold on to that promise. So again, you know it. You know it. I don't need to say it, but that's okay. I'll say it anyway. Again and again and again, each and every day, Jesus is showing up to us. We're at the lake shore. Some of us may be a little fancier than fisher people. Some of us may be teachers or even lawyers and doctors or crazy things like co-moderators, la papas. Some of us may have a little fancier education and titles and have better situations and circumstances, and some of us may not. Some of us may be sitting in the dust, mending, fixing something because we can't afford to buy a new one. And yet Jesus shows up to us, whatever the circumstance. Jesus shows up to us again today. And tomorrow too, and the day after that, and after that, and says the light has dawned. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? The light has come. Come and follow me. Not only will I make you fishers of people, I will make you bearers of light. Thank you for the ways you bear light here in Tucson and in this area of God's creation which is broken and yet always in the process of being redeemed. Thank you for the ways that you continue to share compassion and search for justice and speak up and stand with those who only know darkness. Thank you for following and being part of a pretty amazing adventure team here. My goodness. Thank you for believing and shining the light. Amen.